All right. So as I was saying, I had something in my mind of what I was going to do, and kind of was planning that all along. And then basically it was Sunday. I started looking through my notes a little bit more and preparing. And it's kind of funny how this works. This happens to me often preparing for the teen group, but the Holy Spirit kind of just changes plans sometimes and brings something else in your mind. So Monday I kind of switched gears. And so here we are. So, I enjoy preparing, and I tell Pastor this too. It's one thing I love about teaching is it makes me get into the Word and learn and discover new characters and new things. And a couple of the characters I'm going to talk about tonight are a prime example of that, where you get to dive into the Bible a little bit and learn some new things and just see, how God used so many different people in so many different ways. So, as we hear so much about the Apostle Paul, great apostle, and rightfully so, right? We read of his miraculous conversion, his mission trips, his dedication in his ministry. Obviously, he wrote a lot of the New Testament. So we see a lot of that. A lot of messages are preached on Paul and his work. But have you ever thought about the men and the friends who played a significant role in Paul's quest to share the gospel? There were many faithful men who were such an important part of the ministry and early church, yet we don't know a lot about them. We don't hear a lot about them necessarily. A lot of messages done on these men. Their journey through history is somewhat anonymous and behind the scenes. But ultimately, they make a huge impact. The Apostle Paul certainly valued these men, these friends, especially when he was imprisoned in Rome. Obviously, he was kind of chained down, literally, and so he had these men, he sent them, and these faithful men that he used and were faithful to him in the ministry and to God, who stood by him during this imprisonment and his house arrest. And tonight, we're going to look at two of these friends and peek into their lives and their character and the important role they played. If you would, just turn your Bibles tonight to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. We're going to read a couple verses here, verses 7 through 9. Colossians 4, 7 through 9. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who was one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. All right, bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we just come to you tonight and thank you for your word. I just thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you'll just use me tonight and make the words clear. We just continue to pray for Pastor as he's gone and just be with him. We just pray this in your name. Amen. All right, thank you. I'm standing. So what we read here in Colossians, what we read, it's the closing remarks of Paul's letter to the church of Colossae. Okay, at first glance, we look at this, and it looks like the closing remarks of any letter or of some of the other epistles, similar. Seems to be kind of a random closing chatter, kind of your typical conclusion for a letter in this era, in this time. However, Paul, ultimately, inspired by God, put these verses in for a reason. As we look closer here at who was mentioned and what is said, it exposes some valuable traits and truths about two men, two individuals, Tychicus and Onesimus. I have to say, one of the hardest things about preparing for this was how to pronounce that name, Tychicus. For a while there, I was struggling with that. And technology has some pretty amazing things, as you can type that in, and it actually told me how to say it. So we got that out of the way, and there it was downhill from there. But so Tychicus. As we learn about these two men, I want us to ponder something tonight. And this is the question I want everybody to think as we go through this whole message. How would your Christian walk be described? How would your Christian walk be described? Now, if Paul was writing this letter to our church, how would he describe you? That's the question of the night. You know, I had to ask this question to myself here as preparing for this, and to be quite honest with you, I mean, a little bit of my testimony here. I'd have to say in my Christian walk, a lot of it has been pretty mediocre. I spent a lot of my Christian life pretty hypocritical. Most of you know me. I've been here a long time. I was saved at the age of 8. My dad led me to the Lord in his bedroom up on Fuller Avenue, where we lived at the time. Wasn't soon after that, maybe a couple of years, my family moved and moved here, started attending church here. And so I've been in church my whole life, for the most part. But there was a window in there, about 15, 16, and where I kind of started taking a little bit different path. You know, I was faithful here and still came to church and all that, but I was kind of playing the game, so to speak. And that went on for a number of years, and you know, I was here every week, but really my Christian life, my Christian walk was kind of stagnant. There was really no growth for a number of years. So this question's, you know, it's a tough one, and I think about that, and I think that's why the Lord has kind of given me a burden for teenagers. It's a tough time, and you know, tough time in life, critical time where you can make important decisions. You can make them to serve the Lord, start serving Him, where you're at an age where you can do a lot of things, you can influence a lot of people, and really just take off for God. Or you can go the other direction. You're caught up in the world and the influences and temptations, and that's kind of the route I went. Thank the Lord, though, for His grace, and through a series of events down the road, my wife, who was actually raised Catholic, most of you know that, but through this, she was led to the Lord and saved, and that was a big step. And actually, just about 4 or 5 years ago, I would say, through my wife and my children and a couple series of events and some big decisions we had to make, I think the Lord pretty much just got a hold of me and said, you either need to go all in or get out. Don't play the game anymore. Don't kind of be on, you know, kind of on the fence here. You need to get all in or forget it. And I've kind of chose a direction to go all in. And thank the Lord for that and His grace for bringing me back in. But the question tonight is, how would you describe your Christian walk? So we're going to look at these two men. Tychicus. Who is Tychicus? His name means fateful or accidental, but based on his work and what we're going to look at here, I think dependable would be a good extension to that. He appears 5 times in the Bible, and we're going to look at each of those. The first location, we turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 4 and 5, and we're just going to kind of breeze through each 5 of these spots where this man is, where we see him. Acts 20, verse 4 and 5. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, here's all kinds of fun names again, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we see here, we see this man again. Now he's sent by Paul. I'm backing up. He's from Asia Minor, as I mentioned there, from Asia. Okay, probably Ephesus. We do some more studying and research there. And here we see where Tychicus first shows up on the scene. He's joined Paul with this group of men. They're traveling basically from Ephesus to Jerusalem. They're likely transporting a lot of money back to the Jews, the poor, from the Gentile churches to their poor fellow believers in Jerusalem. Okay, as we look in 1 Corinthians, we can reference that. Now, our first look here at Tychicus, and we can see that this would not be an easy trip. Okay, these guys carrying lots of money, likely to get robbed. They wasn't safe. They're kind of fair game. So these guys had to be courageous. They had to be brave men. I'm sure they knew what they were getting themselves into. So our first look at Tychicus here, he's joining Paul with a group of men on his travels to Jerusalem. Next time we see Tychicus is in Ephesians, chapter 6. In verse 21, now here we see that Paul is closing remarks in the letter to the Ephesians. Okay, so Ephesians 6:21, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Here we see that he's sent by Paul to deliver the letter to the Ephesians. Okay, and we saw him in Colossians, what we read a little bit ago, our text tonight. He was sent by Paul to deliver the letter to the Colossians. Now in Titus chapter 3, verse 12. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Okay, here we see sent by Paul to possibly relieve Titus on the island of Crete in this letter here. And lastly, we see him appear in 2 Timothy 4:12. 2 Timothy 4:12. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Here he's sent by Paul to Ephesus again to take Timothy's place during Paul's second imprisonment to relieve Timothy, that Timothy could go back to Rome, basically, or to go to Rome to see Paul. So as we can see here, as he's mentioned in these different locations, we see that Tychicus is one of Paul's go-to guys. Okay, he was a much trusted, much traveled, and much tested servant of God. Although he's only mentioned five times in the Word of God, he made a big impact in the ministry and cause for Christ. He was Paul's liaison to the churches of the Lycus Valley. As we saw, he bore both the epistles of Colossians and Ephesians to their destinations. He was used by God, and he was one of those companions of Paul. Now, I want us to pause here for a second and think about just one of these trips from Rome to Colossae. Now, this is approximately 1,200 miles. Okay, sometimes we read these scriptures and we look at, he was sent to Ephesus or Colossae or these different places, but I think we need to grasp for a second how far that actually is. It's 1,200 miles. Now, remember, this is around 61 AD, okay? There's no airplanes, cruise ships, whatever. Lindsay and I, we just flew to Central America last week, or the week before, I guess. We left here at 9 o'clock. We were there at 3:30. It's not the case here, right? It's 61 A.D. Okay, so there's no way to deliver these letters for Paul. There's no airplanes, you know, it's not easy delivering these letters. Tychicus would first have to cross much of Italy on foot, then sail across the Adriatic Sea. After traversing Greece on foot, he would sail across the Aegean Sea to the coast of Asia Minor. Okay. After all that, he still faced 100 miles on foot just to reach Colossae. Okay? Unbelievable. And this is just one of his journeys. So think about that for a second and just, you know, the fact that Paul entrusted him to deliver the letters alone illustrates the type of man Tychicus was. The dedication, you know, the commitment this man had. And it was customary in this time also that a letter would be sent with a close individual, someone representing yourself, who would share the information and answer questions, possibly, regarding the sender. Now, as we see in our text, where it states that you basically share the news about me or let you know my affairs. However, Paul also describes three traits about Tychicus in verse 7 that I want us to look at a little bit closer tonight. The first one is beloved brother. Okay, beloved brother. Paul describes Tychicus as a beloved brother, a brother in Christ. Right. Now, I believe this is very significant considering Paul's background as a non-believer. And actually, as he started out as a persecutor of Christians, right? We know Paul, his story, and his conversion on that Damascus road. Now, interesting, when Ananias was sent by the Lord to Damascus to meet Paul, the first words he said were, "Brother Saul." Now, as believers, we have a relationship, a special closeness with the Lord and with each other. Paul reveled in this special relationship, and we can almost sense the delight when he calls Tychicus a beloved brother. He's a brother in Christ. I think today we need to recapture that delight, recognizing that all who trust in the Lord are truly brothers and sisters in Him. We need to learn to love one another, as I believe Paul loved this man. John 13:34 states, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." He called Tychicus a beloved brother. Number two, faithful minister. He calls Tychicus a faithful minister. I believe Paul could count on Tychicus for anything. And Tychicus was willing to do anything. The old saying goes, dependability is the best ability. Right? Interestingly, the Greek word Paul used here for minister is diakonos, which means an attendant or a waiter or a server. We get our word deacon from this word. Tychicus was that kind of man. He was faithful regardless of the circumstances. He was trustworthy and willing to serve. More than ever today, I think this quality of faithfulness is needed. I think the Lord wants a lot more of faithful ministers. You see in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Tychicus was a faithful minister. Third trait we see here, fellow servant. Paul calls Tychicus a fellow servant. Now again here we can look at the Greek word that Paul uses, the Greek word dolos here, which is literally a bond slave. That's the word he used here for servant, a a slave. Now we look at a slave in the Roman times here in this era. They had no rights of their own. He was the master's possession, absolutely under the master's control. Interesting word choice. Paul completely gave himself to the Lord and was completely under his control. Now here he was as a prisoner, as part of this service to God, and he describes Tychicus as such a servant. I'm sure Tychicus gave up many things, obviously made a lot of sacrifices. But it's not about what we want to do, but what God wants us to do. Have you asked God what He wants you to do? Fellow servant. So Tychicus, the go-to man. What an excellent example of faithfulness, isn't it? And dependability. But, as we see in verse 9, Tychicus did not travel alone in this journey. He was with Onesimus. So who was Onesimus? Another interesting character. Now Onesimus is only mentioned twice in the Bible. In this verse, and then again in the book of Philemon. From our text, we can learn that he must be from Colossae. So it says, who is one of you? So he's heading home from Rome. And Paul, similarly here, calls Onesimus a faithful and beloved brother. Two attributes he used to describe Tychicus, as we just reviewed. So we can gather that Paul thought highly of this man as well. We can learn more about Onesimus and his story, and really why he's on this trip in the book of Philemon. Now, Philemon, there's probably not a lot of messages done on Philemon, but it's a really short, intimate letter, carefully crafted and worded by the Apostle Paul. The letter to the man, Philemon. Okay. So let's turn our Bibles there, if you can find it. It's probably about one page in your Bible, but it's right after Titus. Okay, so we're going to turn to Philemon and learn a little bit more about Onesimus and who this guy is. Now let's notice in verse 10. Philemon, verse 10. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, so there's our man, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Okay. This is the only other place Onesimus is mentioned in the Bible. But we see here that Paul is appealing to Philemon for his son Onesimus, okay, who he met while imprisoned in Rome. Apparently, as it says there, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Okay. Now, a little background here for time's sake. Philemon's an interesting little letter. You can read it. But basically, just kind of sum it up in a nutshell. Paul obviously knows Philemon. As we look in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Okay, likely through Paul's ministry and through Paul's teaching, this Philemon was led to the Lord. And he was probably one of the wealthier church members in Colossae, as we can see here. In verse 2, at the end there, and to the church in thy house. So we can gather that the church here met in Philemon's house. And so he's probably one of the wealthier church members, we can assume, and they met in his home, and he was also a slave owner. Onesimus was Philemon's slave. He had run away from his master, possibly robbing him, and escaped to Rome. Okay, now Rome has been described as the common sink of all the worst vices of humanity. So there's this huge population, good place for a slave to go and hide out in the big crowd in this big massive city. Okay, so Onesimus hoped to hide himself and never be found again. But God found him, didn't he? And God knew where he was going. God knew where he was at all along, and somehow or other in the streets of Rome, Onesimus was brought to Paul, led to Christ, as he's called the faithful and beloved brother, as we see in our text. What an amazing story. There's a lot that we can be said in Philemon alone in the book, but Onesimus, the runaway slave, to saved. Now Paul is writing, or sending Onesimus back to his master, Philemon, with this letter, pleading for his forgiveness and to accept Onesimus back. So that's why Onesimus is on this trip with Tychicus. He's heading back from Rome with this letter to Philemon. Okay, now without this letter, as we discussed earlier, a slave was completely under the master's authority. Roman slaves were treated as property and worse than an enemy. Onesimus, basically, if he would be caught or returned, he'd surely be put to death. So Paul has this letter to Philemon. So now we see Paul, who's called Onesimus a faithful and beloved brother. In our text, he also describes him as profitable. If you look in verse 11 through 13 here in Philemon, profitable. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Now I'm sure Philemon agreed he was unprofitable after he ran away, possibly stole from him. However, he is now proven to be profitable to Paul while he imprisoned in Rome and his ministry and his quest to share the gospel. See, Onesimus has came to know the Lord. He is a new creature in Christ. It's interesting, the name Onesimus actually means profitable. Now, he can actually live up to his name. Onesimus is true to his name. He's profitable to the ministry. And this proves that anyone can be profitable in the ministry, regardless of your background, where you came from. Onesimus was profitable. Second item Paul says here about Onesimus is he's a brother beloved. Now we discussed this with Tychicus. Paul again describes Onesimus as a brother in Christ. Not now as a servant, but as a brother. Paul is pleading to Philemon to say he's a brother in Christ. He has a new relationship to Philemon as a brother in the Lord. Thirdly, he's a partner. In verse 17 and 18, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Onesimus is now a partner in the ministry and cause for Christ. Paul is pleading that Onesimus is treated the same as he would be treated, accepted as he would be accepted. What a picture we have here of substitution and imputation through Paul. And again, we can go into a whole other service on those verses right there. As he says, put that on mine account. And what a picture that is of Jesus putting our sin on his account. But he calls Onesimus a partner in the ministry. So we see these two men on their journey from Rome, the letters in their hand. We see some traits we talked about here. And the question again, how would your Christian walk be described? Tonight we've looked at these two men, two basically unknowns, only mentioned seven times in the Word of God, who the great Apostle Paul has described as beloved brothers in Christ, a faithful minister, a fellow servant, profitable, and a partner for the cause of Christ. What an impact these men had, and what an amazing description Paul gives of their Christian walk. Now, I encourage you tonight to be Tychicus. Faithful, dependable, and willing to do anything for Christ. The go-to guy. You know, today we don't even have to walk 1,200 miles, do we? There's so many resources and easier ways to minister. We just need to be faithful and willing to do it. And like Onesimus, who became a brother beloved, a profitable partner, regardless of his background. Onesimus ran away. He was a slave. He ran away. But God knew where he was going. And God put him right where he wanted him. Right in front of Paul. Just like he can for you and me. See, tonight, it's pretty simple. We can be the unknown heroes too. We can be like Tychicus. We can be like Onesimus, just faithful, willing to do what it takes, dependable. You know, and if your Christian walk isn't really all that great, and there isn't much to describe, change it tonight. Change it tonight. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to you again and just thank you for this time we can come together. I just pray that you'll use us all, Lord, any way you can. Help us to be willing and just faithful for you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us and giving us these examples of two faithful and dependable men. We just pray that you'll bless the remainder of this evening and bless us as we go our ways, Lord, and the remainder of this week. And bring us back Sunday. And in your name, amen.